I don't know how much truth there is to it, but it's been said that January is the gloomiest month of the year. And I suppose there's a sense in which I can see that. The weather is cold frequently, and it's often dark and somewhat dreary. I like that kind of weather. And you can take what you want about what they may say about my personality. Most of those New Year's resolutions have been broken that you set on the very end of the year. The bills from your generous holiday spirit and spending on others are having to be paid. And so from a certain perspective, I can understand why someone might say January is one of the gloomiest months of the year. This morning, I want to spend a little bit of time thinking biblically about depression and what God's Word has to say about it. I've had this sermon slated for probably about 2 years now and have always found a good reason to keep pushing it back further and further. Largely, my reservations have stemmed from the fact that depression isn't solely a biblical issue. It's spoken about in Scripture, and there are things we're going to see that Scripture has to say about it, but it's not solely a biblical issue. It's sometimes a medical issue. I don't have a medical background. I've talked deeply and at length about people who have struggled firsthand and were struggling with depression, what that was like for them. Strong Christians, Christians whose faith I admire, whose faith I look up to, and who are examples for me, for whom this is an issue. And my reservations have largely been because of my own lack of knowledge about the biological side of it, and also my concern that coming from a place that I wasn't personally acquainted with and then not perhaps educationally acquainted with as well as I'd like to be, that I might misspeak and say something that was harmful or hurtful for whom someone this was a problem. Now, with that being said, however, this isn't an issue that you can simply brush under the rug. No issue is because it's uncomfortable or because you might not want to talk about it or because you run the risk of hurting someone's feelings. Because for so many Christians, this is not just some theoretical discussion about a biblical topic that's far removed from them. It's something that they know very well, that they're acquainted with. And maybe there's someone here today that's in the midst of a depressive episode. And so I'll do my best. I tried to do my research as well as I could to come up to speed with the medical side of things as best someone might. But my intellect can. And so I want to do my best to speak graciously and compassionately. So just please bear with me in mind, and I pray that my words will only do good and will bring no harm. While the Holy Spirit doesn't give us anything specific, it doesn't speak specifically about depression as we talk about it and as we think about it, there are certainly instances where it comes to the forefront because, especially in the Old Testament, you see saints who battled depressive episodes, how they dealt with that and how they overcame that. And so there's an abundance of encouragement. And so for anyone that deals with depression or struggles with that, knows that battle, there's an abundance of encouragement that can be found in the Word of God, particularly in the Old Testament, about how one should face that and how one should deal with that. I have two objectives that I want to accomplish this morning. We may spend more time on the former than the latter. But the first objective is to enlighten those who are ignorant about the reality of depression in order to cultivate understanding and compassion in dealing with our fellow man, and most specifically our brothers and sisters. Depression has somewhat of a negative, in the past it has, and we're coming to understand more about it, but it's had this negative stigma that is often undeserved attached to it. And that stigma often is the result of our ignorance of it, of what it is and what causes it. With the advancements of science, we have better come to understand how God has designed the human body, specifically the human brain. And while God set our bodies, marvelous creations though they are, to work in a certain way, our bodies are subject to the curse. And our mind, as well as other functions and parts of our body, because they're subject to the curse and corruption and decay and a breaking away of what the good order that God set in place, sometimes things happen that create situations like this. And unless you struggle personally with depression or you know someone very close to you that struggled with depression, then you probably have less understanding about what that struggle is like. And the tendency when you're ignorant of something or you don't know much about something is to not be very compassionate about it. And I worry that that's been a reflection of how the church has dealt with depression and other mental illnesses in times past. However, we're coming to understand more, and we more importantly need to understand that such negligence, such lack of compassion, lack of empathy for those who are dealing with something that's very real in their life, a very real condition, is not the way of Christ. The way of Christ is to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill His law, is to weep with those who weep, is to comfort one another with the comfort that you yourself have received from God. And so a big part of what I want to do is just simply enlighten those of us who may not be just real acquainted with it, both the biological side and maybe the spiritual side as well, in order that we might have a compassionate spirit as we deal with others and encounter others in our life who face this as an issue. And secondly, and I'd like to spend more time on this, but we're going to probably just kind of spend just the last few moments providing those who may struggle with depression with a biblical plan of action, that is what they can do according to God's Word and what we see saints in God's Word doing to help them when those moments of darkness and depression come upon them. So let me speak just generally about depression, the Christian, and the church. Within the church and within, I suppose, the world, or probably more so within the church, there are two wrong views of depression, two extreme views of depression, and I believe both of them are wrong. Oftentimes what happens when we have a wrong stance on an issue is because we're standing at one extreme or the other of an issue. And this isn't just depression, this is many issues. We're standing at one extreme or the other. There are those who believe that depression is always sinful and it's always rooted in the lack of faith. And while there are instances where there's sin involved in why someone may be depressed, I think you'll momentarily see that there are situations in which there is not necessarily sin involved with someone who's struggling with depression. And great harm has been done to Christians who suffer with a non-sinful form of depression, but they're told that they're living sinfully and what they need to do is just be stronger in their faith. And much harm has been done in those instances. And while a lack of faith is always sinful, that needs to be understood, depression does not always involve a lack of faith. The other extreme, which is also wrong, are those who would say that depression is always a medical condition and is never connected to one's faith. And that view is wrong as well. There are, for many people, depression is less a medical issue and it's more a consequence of God's law of sowing and reaping. That is, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap destruction. And they've sown to the flesh and they've sinned disregarding God's word. And in doing so, they brought terrible circumstances on their life, and that's what leads to their depression. But there are those who would say depression is always a medical condition and has nothing to do with one's faith, and that can be wrong as well. As you can tell, the key difference and the key distinction in determining why these are two wrong extremes is the word always. Depression is not always a faith issue, nor is it always a medical issue. It may be one or the other or some combination of both, and it takes spiritual wisdom and discernment. It takes prayer, honest self-reflection, and perhaps even medical help to determine what it is exactly that you are dealing with. And knowing and understanding the problem is the first step that we must take in helping others who deal with this or in overcoming the problem ourselves. Let's take a few moments to talk about what depression is. I'll give you two definitions, one of them medical, one of them biblical, and then we'll blend them together because, as I said, I don't believe this is solely a medical issue or solely a biblical issue. MayoClinic.org defines depression in this way: a mood disorder that causes a persistent feeling of sadness and a loss of interest. And they further comment, depression affects how you feel, think, and behave, and can lead to a variety of emotional and physical problems. You may have trouble doing normal day-to-day activities, and sometimes you feel as if life isn't worth living. There are probably some of us here who can't even begin to fathom that description and the feeling of what depression is medically. There are probably others of us who listen to that and say, I can tell you exactly what that feels like. I know what that feels like. I've been there with those feelings. Probably some of us are somewhat in the middle of that. That is, we haven't felt the extreme burden of depression, but we felt circumstantial depression, been discouraged, and so we can somewhat relate to what's being described there. Now, there's a medical definition. Here's a biblical definition. Depression, biblically, I would describe it in this way, is a loss of spiritual vitality and joy. It's often accompanied by an increasing difficulty to sense the face and the presence of God and by a lack of desire to seek Him. And we read about people who are dealing with discouragement and dealing with depression throughout Scripture. And here's just a couple from the Psalms that I believe give voice to someone who is suffering from some sort of circumstance or condition that calls them to cry out. Psalm 13 and verse 1, how long, O Lord, Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalm 88 and verse 14. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? And so those who are depressed and feeling depressed or struggling with depression may often feel when it comes to their spiritual life that there's no joy and that God has turned his face away from them. He's turned his back to them. He's no longer listening to them. He's hiding his face so they can't see him, so they can't feel his presence. Depression is joyless because apart from God, there is no joy. And depression is hopeless because apart from God, there is no hope. And depression feels like war on the soul because apart from God, there is no peace. And if we combine both the medical and biblical definition, you come up with something like this. Depression is a mood disorder that causes persistent feelings of sadness and a loss of joy, hope, and peace. It's a loss of interest in both physical and spiritual affairs and the responsibilities of life. Now let me talk just very briefly about three primary types of depression. There's more than three, but these are three broad groups, and more specific depression may fall under a specific heading, a more general heading of what we're going to talk about. The first of what is called chemical depression. So the human body bears the most complex design in all of the things that God has made, in all of this created world. But as I said, our bodies have been subjected to a curse, and so sometimes we find our bodies, both physically and mentally, not working the way that God designed them to work. And such is the case with chemical depression. This occurs whenever maybe there's a hormonal imbalance within the brain that triggers a depressed state within someone's mind. And you probably all heard of what's called postpartum depression. It used to be called baby blues before we began to understand more about the mind and the way that it worked. And, a woman having given birth, you think that'd be a very joyous event, but they often struggle with sadness whenever they first come home from the hospital. And so what happens after a woman gives birth is her levels of estrogen and progesterone rapidly drop, and this leads to a chemical change within the brain. While this is somewhat normal in most instances, lasting for a couple of weeks, there are times where it progresses beyond that, lasts longer than that, and can happen in greater degrees, thus increasing what is sometimes a normal change in the hormonal level. Okay, that's just an example of chemical depression. Now, that chemical change within the brain can cause a mother to enter a prolonged state of depression. A second form of depression is what's called clinical depression, and this is a more severe form of depression known as major depressive disorder, and it's characterized by a depressed mood or a loss of interest in activities causing significant impairment in daily life. This is the kind of depression that often causes a person to neglect the responsibilities, the day-to-day responsibilities, and in many instances may render someone, or at least create a very great barrier to just going through the normal certain events of life, from getting up out of bed, to going to work, to coming to church, to being around other people, and it just causes them to struggle. Many even struggle in those moments to take care of themselves, to bathe and to clean themselves up and to eat and those sort of things. That's clinical depression, a more severe, prolonged type of depression. And then there's what's called situational depression, and this is exactly what it sounds like. It's where the circumstances of life aren't what we'd like them to be, and because of that we may find ourselves discouraged or dealing with bouts of depression. It's usually less severe, and it's usually less long, prolonged. So I hope by looking at these at the very least that we can appreciate most of the time that depression is not simply a black and white issue. Often it's not something that someone can just physically make the choice to snap out of. There are many variables that impact it that are within our control, but there's oftentimes variables that are outside of our control that can impact it as well. And that may range from genetic issues to biological issues to dietary issues to trauma, relational stress, financial burdens, weather conditions, lack of sleep, sinful entanglements, bad choices that people make, and the consequences of sin. There are many things that can influence what causes a person to be depressed. And perhaps it'd be best if we thought about depression like a scale, where in the mildest form, a person just simply feels sad or discouraged. But on the extreme form, a person finds himself nearly debilitated. So let me make just a couple of suggestions. First, for those who do not struggle with depression, maybe if you interact with others or know someone that does, here's just a few things to think about. First, don't oversimplify the issue. we oversimplify the issue when we say it's always this, or it's always that, or by pretending that someone is dealing with something that isn't real. It's just in your head. It's not real. Yeah. That's oversimplifying the issue. Depression isn't a simple issue, and we're coming to understand that more and more. And it's not loving, nor is it honest, nor is it Christ-like to say to someone who may be dealing with some serious issue that's very real to them, to say, you just need to shake it off and get over it. But that's oftentimes been the approach of how it's been in the past. And second to that, we should know that we should be careful to what we say to someone who is dealing with depression. In the past, I would have been the guy that said depression is always a lack of faith issue. And my advice to someone dealing with depression, my way of handling them would probably have been the more callous to say, you just need to get in your Bible and pray and do what's right and just shake it off and get out of it. And I understand it may come down to that in some instances where that's just what needs to happen. Someone just needs to hear that you just need to get over it and move on. But oftentimes that isn't the most helpful thing you could say, and I would certainly never lead with that in interacting with someone who is struggling with depression without knowing the circumstances very well and very intimately before we say something of that nature. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." And so we don't need to oversimplify the issue of depression, nor do we need to simply write it off. We need to be careful and deal patiently and kindly and in an understanding way with those who may struggle with this. Now, to those who are on the other side of the issue, I would say this. Be careful that you're not using your depression as a crutch or as an excuse to justify sinful behavior. I would imagine that it would be quite easy in a moment of depression to say, I just can't do this thing that I know that I have to be doing. I'm just not possible. And so you just shuck off all of your physical and all of your spiritual responsibilities and say, I just can't do it whenever I'm in a state like this. And I don't doubt at all that in those moments, it's hard to honor God and to obey God and to do what God has said. But God has promised that no temptation has overtaken us except such as is common to man. And God is faithful. And God will not allow us to be tempted with more than we can bear. And with the temptation, God will provide the way of escape so that we may be able to endure it. So let me take a stab at one last question before we look at some ways that a Christian can biblically deal with depression. And that's this. When is depression sinful? I don't know that you can draw a line and say, every time at this point, you have to be careful when you start speaking about something of this nature that God hasn't just spoken absolutely clearly on. I think it's often situational, and I think we'd be ill-advised to make a pronouncement regarding the situation without knowing it very well. For example, is a mother who is experiencing a chemical imbalance in her brain as a result of giving birth, in dealing with these hormonal and chemical shifts, is she guilty of sinful depression? Inherently, I think the answer is no. I think we can all say someone who is suffering from a medical condition is not guilty of doing something sinful. But perhaps that condition could lead her into a place where she does give in to sin. So maybe think of it more like temptation. In and of itself, being depressed isn't sinful. But it's what you do when you're in that situation, it's the choices you make, and it's how you respond to that determines whether sin occurs or not. We'd all agree, having a medical condition is not a sin. But what brings a person to that condition, however, could be rooted in sin. For example, it's not wrong to have diabetes. But it is wrong to be a glutton. Sometimes the two of those things are related. Similarly, what may cause a person's depression is not something that's biologically beyond their control, but may be the result of sinful choices that they've been making. You wouldn't handle someone with a legitimate mental health issue the same way that you would deal with someone who is simply reaping the consequences of their sin and they're depressed about it. You'd handle both with love, absolutely, but you wouldn't have, that's not an apples to apples comparison. One is suffering from something because of the result of sin. The other is suffering from something that is beyond their control. And so it should be stated that we respond to that in a manner of love. And it also should be stated how we respond to a genuine medical condition can become sinful. For example, for a sinful person, or a person with diabetes, to use that as an excuse to manipulate others, to use that as a reason to neglect the things that they should be doing, be disobedient to the Word of God, that would be wrong. Similarly, someone might leverage their depressive state to neglect the things that God has called them to do or to justify other sinful behaviors. And to that end, those who may deal with depression or struggle with depression, they should not eschew medical help. I understand that many people are abusing mental health and mental health treatments and mental health conditions that are rooted in sin rather than biology. I understand that's happening in many instances. But the abuse of it shouldn't define the way that we deal with those who have a genuine issue with this problem. You wouldn't tell a diabetic, which is someone suffering from a physical abnormality, you wouldn't say, just say a prayer and get over it. Now, what you'd say is, pray about it, but then go see a doctor who can help you with this condition. And in the same way, to those who may be dealing with depression, you wouldn't just say, you just need to have more faith and read your Bible and pray about it, and that'll take care of it. Trust in God. Pray to God. But go see a doctor and see if you can get some medical help as well. At the very least, I hope that I've shown the issue of depression is deeper than many of us have realized, and I hope that the things that I've said will help cultivate understanding and help cultivate compassion and patience and love for those who may be dealing with this and for whom this may be a very real struggle. And if you'd like to know more about this, I confess I am not a medical professional, and my view, my understanding of depression, specifically as it works biologically within the mind, is not just fantastic. I've done some reading, I've done some research so that I can be fair in my assessments and analyzation of it. But there's others who have a professional background, a medical background, and a Christian background as well, that can give good guidance on that. Wilson Adams, who I know this congregation has a great respect for, he's studied depression, and he's spoken on depression on multiple occasions. His wife, Julie, she's a licensed therapist. Both faithful Christians, both very knowledgeable of God's Word. Anyone seeking further advice or maybe clarification or needing medical help with this, they could reach out to them. They'd be a good resource to have. But let me close with just a few thoughts about how a Christian should handle depression. Three things, just real quickly. First, distinguish between facts and feelings. One of the greatest weapons by which depression makes war on our minds and on our souls is that trying to make us think the way that we feel is a reality. It's trying to cause us to confuse facts and feelings. My feelings of hopelessness mean that there is no hope. My feelings of joylessness mean that I'm never going to be happy again. My feeling of worthlessness means that I am worthless. My feeling of God's displeasure means that God doesn't want anything to do with me. And in those instances, when you're in that state, and those seem like realities, and what your mind is trying to do is to make you buy into what you're feeling to be true, what you've got to cling to are not what you feel, but what you know, what is true, specifically what God has said. And God has said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And what God has said is, I will never leave you or forsake you. And what God has said is, my love for you is so great that I sent my Son to lay down his life to bring you to myself. Those are truths that you must cling to when your mind would convince you otherwise. And so cling to that when the darkness closes in on you. Listen to and hold to the truths of what God has said rather than the misleading of your own emotions. Secondly, spend time with other depressed saints. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Know that you're not alone, and that's another thing depression will do. It pushes you away from others. And so you think, I'm dealing with this, I'm facing this all by myself. There's nobody else out there. That's what depression wants you to believe, and that's how it deceives you. Now, when I talk about other depressed saints, most specifically I'm talking about other depressed saints that you can find in God's Word. Men like Elijah, who, after he was being chased for his life by Jezebel, he traveled a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a broom tree and said, he asked God that he might die, saying, it's enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. or Job, who said in Job 10:1, I loathe my very life. Therefore, I'll give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. Or Moses, who said to the Lord, why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of the people on me? I'm not able to carry all this people. The burden is too heavy. If you treat me like this, kill me at once. Or David, who said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as in the heat of summer. Or Jeremiah, who said, cursed be the day I was born. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame? Or Paul, who said, for we don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Spend time with saints who have been through those dark valleys of discouragement and depression. Spend time with them. See how they handled that. Imitate their faithful behavior. Observe and watch how they overcome. And then do those things in your life as well. And then finally, wait and pray. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. That's what it feels like when you're in that position, when you're in one of those moments of depression. It feels like you're in this miry bog of which you'll never get out, and which you'll never escape. And it feels like the pit of destruction. And what the psalmist says is, I waited patiently in that moment. I didn't give in. I didn't give up the faith. I waited patiently. I prayed to God. And God took me out of the miry bog and he set my feet on solid ground. Those times will come to an end. God help those of us who personally have no idea what depression is like to be more sympathetic in our dealing with others. And God help any of us who may have battled this or be battling this now or have this as a battle in the future that we face. So for anyone who may be dealing with depression now or at any time, look to the Lord, trust in the Lord, pray to